Howdy, howdy, everybody. It's your old pal Sig. And that means you're listening to Sig Neutron Sputron. So I wanted to start doing these mini-episodes episodes of, in my quest of diving into spirituality, I'm realizing that practicality and spirituality go hand in hand for the movement that I call irreverentism. So I wanted to do these little mini-episodes and kind of just, I have these daily thoughts and maybe some things that I can say to practically help you guys practically. Maybe some of the things that I think about will help break you out of some of your bad habits and patterns into new ways of thinking and send you along on your journey to self-fulfillment and happiness and everything you ever wanted out of life. So here we go. This is one of these little these new little episodes I'm going to start doing called Get Your Shit Together. I'm Sig Neutron. And this is Sig Neutron, Sputron, Get Your Shit Together. And it doesn't really have a great ring.
Everybody hates excuses, so why do you make them pay attention and get your shit together?
So, have you ever paid attention to how much attention you're actually paying? It sounds like a silly question, but actually when you stop and take a second and you really start to think about it, you'll start to see how much you're actually running on autopilot throughout most of your day. It's crazy because I didn't really put much thought into it, and I started, once I started getting into meditation and clearing the noise inside my head, once I was able to start clearing that fuzz, I discovered a big key to meditation is hyper-focus. So a lot of meditations will have you focus on some specific mantra or, I've experimented with, I've experimented with focusing on just a tone or a binaural beat, just focusing on just that tone, as I mentioned in episode 25. And again, while I highly suggest everybody try to develop your own meditation practices for at least 20 minutes a day, anytime that's convenient for you, there you go, there's a sales pitch for yourself. If you're not ready to jump into meditation, you can actually start applying what I'm talking about to everyday life. Woohoo! Because we all like applying things to our lives for the better, do we not? So I was kind of shocked to catch myself on just how little I was paying attention to what I was doing in the moment. It's key here to realize the past and the future don't matter. All that matters is now. That is all there is. So way too often we're thinking about something we did or something we need to do, and we completely neglect the most important thing, which is what we are currently doing in this very moment. Imagine it like this. Our mind is a camera, and it's on autofocus. So most of the time we're looking around, and the focus is super wide, and it's focused on a vast array of things that probably don't matter in the current moment. Well, what happens when your focus is wide and you try to concentrate? Well, the entire overall image of whatever you're seeing is blurry. You only have a vague, blurry outline of whatever you're currently looking at. Well, now what happens when you need to focus on one specific object? Well, you shift your focus to that one thing and it becomes so crisp and clear, and you get a completely accurate picture of the thing. You can see all of its details and you get an exact idea of what that thing is. You truly experience that thing. And not just a foggy, hazy image representation of the thing. So I've also started putting this way of thinking into practice to sharpen my brain, and it's called neuroplasticity, which you should look it up because it's very exciting. But it's basically the process of reshaping our brains by how we use them. So for example, next time you're walking down the street, notice how much you're actually paying attention to the scene around you. Most of the time we're on autopilot and our brain just sees a big green and brown blob and it says, tree. And you see a white blob on the street, it's a car. And then the giant blue expanse above and it's like, that's the sky. Our brain overgeneralizes and basically renders the world like a video game. And if you don't pay attention to the detail of it, your brain gets a glimpse and then it fills in the gaps. You ever run to the out into some unloaded in a sandbox video game and you're out in the nowheres and it takes a second for it to load, but it just loads general blobs of things first and then it starts skinning it with the detail? Well, it's kind of like that. And then that leads you to getting a blurry, unfocused, distorted view of the world. So what I've started to do is take some time each day, usually when we're walking Tupac, to actually look around, like look at the texture of a leaf, look at the sidewalk, look at, I don't know, look at a light pole, and then you notice that it has all these little tabs and screws in it that somebody had to design and think about how to construct this thing. And, you know, rather than see just a blob that's a car, take the time to look at the lines design that use the lines that make up the design of the car. You'd be surprised how cool cars start to look when you begin to actually look at them and think about the creative thought that went into someone putting a design into that shape. Same thing with nature. You become to have an appreciation for the creative design that is our universe. And once you start looking at the details of nature, that alone can give you a deep understanding that our reality is not random. It was and it is being meticulously designed by a creative intent. I mean, you can even break it down to things like the golden ratio and stuff like that. Like everything is mathematical and all of the mathematics start stacking up in very specific patterns. So you think that's random? I don't know. Doesn't sound very random to me. But, you know, again, I mean, you can believe what you want. I ain't here to force nobody to believe nothing. Just here to get you to think. David Lynch, he brought up a really cool story that's told in some culture. I forget the source. Yep, there's my phone. Thanks, phone. We're just leaving it. We're just going. Okay. So, yeah, so David Lynch brought up this really cool story that I thought was really profound. So, this sculptor, he placed one of his works in the town square, and every day this other guy would just come and stare at his sculpture, and he would like take in every little nuance, every little curve, all the texture. He was just so focused and appreciative of the art that itself that one day the artist got word of this. So he's like, well, this guy loves my work so much, I gotta meet this guy. So one day he went to meet the man that loved his work so much. And they say that this is how you can meet God. If you appreciate the masterpiece that is everything, then you'll meet God. I think that's a really cool, you know, really fun way to put it. And once I've started like hyper-focusing on things and getting more into spirituality, it just makes so much sense. And this isn't, when I say God, it's, you know, don't filter that word through all of your preconceived notions of what God is or what God has been told to you that it is. God is personal to you. So however you take that, that's, you know, I'm not talking about God in any sense of Christianity or anything like that. I'm talking about the creative intent behind this obviously created universe. Now, you can apply this hyper-focus to thinking to something like eating. So if you're like me, you love to watch TV while you eat. And, you know, if you aren't watching TV, you're deeply engaged in thoughts about the stresses of your day or something you did last night, right? You know, you're putting your focus off the food itself, and the experience of the food becomes a vague and blurry representation of what it actually is. Now, inversely, you look at eating as a special time, almost like a meditation where nothing else matters except what you're eating, you and the food. You focus all your attention on the food, and then you actually experience the true flavors of the food. Then you start to realize that this thinking can be applied to like everything you do in life. Listening to music, enjoying art, yeah, even sex. Anything that can be enjoyed is best enjoyed when you're actually enjoying the one thing that you're trying to enjoy. I'm absolutely serious when I say this. Food, among almost everything else, becomes absolutely fucking amazing when you zero all of your focus in on it. Because the obvious benefit of, you know, how everybody loves delicious food, well, how else can this help you? Well, we've actually started eating raw food medleys for lunch. It just kind of sort of just happened. I don't know. We're just going with the spiritual flow, man. And it just kind of became our thing. And every day I look at what I'm eating and this like vibrant rainbow medley of living foods, fruits and veggies. And I'm like, who the fuck have I become? And it's like, I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in the best way, because I could never imagine myself going apeshit over a bowl of raw veggies and fruit medleys. But I get so fucking stoked about lunch, and it's amazing, and it's wonderful, and it's exciting. And it's like, isn't that what we want out of life? We want things to be exciting and amazing. Well, it's a matter of perspective, and then your perspective actually affects your enjoyment of anything. But, you know, since I started to hyper-focus on my food, my entire relationship with food has changed. Like, I get fucking pumped about salads. Oh, never thought I'd say that. And, you know, to be honest, if you could get the great shitty part about eating well is that the bad foods taste so good and then the good foods don't really taste as good. Well, what if you could actually retrain your brain to where the good foods taste fucking amazing and then the bad food is kind of like whatever. Like, I've actually started eating fast food and it's not as awesome as it used to be, because like I have such an, like, if it comes down to it, I'm going to eat fast food or like healthy food that actually tastes really good. Like, why would I not make the healthy choice? And again, don't get me wrong, I love, occasionally I'll do like my Sunday. That's my getting crazy day. Maybe I'll go to Del Taco and get their Beyond Tacos or something. But I'm not saying give up, you know, healthy food, or I mean, you know, give up bad food. I'm just saying make it a sometimes thing, because the only difference between a bad habit and a reward is how often you receive it. So think about that. Just a few months ago, I could never even imagine getting so pumped over healthy shit. I would 6 months ago, me would look at future me and be like, who the fuck are you? But again, you know, since I started aligning myself or becoming more spiritual, and, you know, I'm an irreverentist, so that means spirituality is synonymous with practicality. If what you're doing is working out for your life, then that's what you're supposed to be doing. But I got myself out of the old patterns of thought and outdated perspective that worked for me before. Like, I enjoyed my days of eating shit foods and I don't regret them. That was great. I had that experience and I learned all I can from that. So now it's time for me to shift my way out of that perspective and change gears. Because change is good. It's scary and it's uncomfortable, but it's good. Because that means it leads to new experiences. Think about it that way. You've learned what you... There's no mistakes. There's only paths to knowledge. So whatever you've done, if you have bad habits, well, maybe it's time that you've learned all you can from those bad habits. So now replace them with good ones and see where that takes you. Now, did I just wake up one day and be like, health food, fuck yeah! Absolutely not. Getting out of your old habits is very uncomfortable. And, you know, but the pain is fleeting. However, if you're like me and, you know, we're making unhealthy choices and being miserable because of it, well, unhealthy decisions only compound and get worse until your entire life becomes miserable. You all know, if you're being honest with yourselves, where your bad habits lead. So the question becomes, do you want to be uncomfortable for a short period of time to experience a lifetime of sustained fulfillment and living to your true potential and getting what you really want out of life? Or do you want to live a lifetime of misery in the comfort of your own unhealthy patterns? I mean, it's really up to you. But I don't know about you, but the choice seems pretty obvious to me. A big part of practical spiritual fulfillment is learning to manually focus your camera. Autofocus is great for certain things, but if you really want the best from life, you have to learn to consciously focus your camera. And if what I'm saying resonates with you, are you feeling something deep in your heart saying, yep, you know he's right, it's time for us to get our shit together? Well then, it's time for you to get your shit together. You know where your current path leads, and if it doesn't look good, it's time to grow up and start living your best life. The only thing stopping you is you.
Everybody hates excuses, so why do you make them? Pay attention and... get your shit together.